Hey, Tacoma, what's up? John Doherty here for Radio Tacoma's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate, always respectfully, ever striving to be fact-based, open to divergent perspectives, and always actively optimistic. For this episode, it's going to be just us, and I'm going to be talking to you about the Death Star, as in the first produced episode of Star Wars, and negative externalities. You might recall that the Empire's Death Star seemed impregnable. Folks on it, including Darth Vader and the Emperor, felt invincible, and the rebels had to destroy the Death Star or be destroyed themselves. They had gotten a set of plans for the Death Star, and in assessing the threat that the rebels presented, Darth Vader had to tell the Emperor that there was a vulnerability. It was a small one, but a vulnerability nevertheless, and the rebels knew about the vulnerability. They were able to exploit the vulnerability, and as we know, they destroyed the seemingly invincible Death Star. With that in mind, let's talk about negative externalities. Whenever we as individuals or groups of people like corporations do something that affects others, not a part of what we're doing negatively, a detriment, that's a negative externality. A cost is being passed on to someone else who isn't part of the activity. Here's some simple examples. You're sitting on a park bench on an enjoyable day. Someone comes up and sits next to you, lights up a stogie, and while they enjoy the smoke, you find it unpalatable and unhealthy. The smoker has passed on part of the cost of their unhealthy habit to you without your agreement. Another example, your neighbor lets their dog roam free. The dog likes to do his business on your lawn, and you're left to clean it up. Your neighbor has passed on part of his cost of dog ownership, that is, cleaning up after the dog, and has passed that cost on to you. Those are, of course, micro examples. However, we've been dealing with a massive negative externality ever since the introduction of fossil fuels as an energy source. It's been easier for us to see negative externalities like smog from automobiles. Because it was easy to see, we have taken specific steps to address the issue with smog control devices. And we see the effects of those steps with cleaner, though certainly not completely clean, but cleaner air. Clearly cleaner. Not so easy to see the external cause caused by carbon dioxide and methane, atmospheric and oceanic pollution. The fossil fuel industry has been an immensely successful enterprise, and part of those profits have come because they have passed on the cost of air pollution to the rest of us. And the sad computation is that the less an individual has had to do with that cost, the more of that cost they bear. I'm thinking of subsistence farmers in developing countries, for instance, just barely making it, but having to deal with the consequences of global air pollution that they had nothing to do with. Let's just call that one negative externality squared. Related to this discussion, we have a near reverence in the United States and most of the West for what is commonly called the free market, air quotes there. Quick aside, yes, I get that there never has been and more than likely never will be a market that is truly free. Businesses love to harness the power of the state to their own ends, especially when it comes to helping them avoid competition or when it helps them to pass on their negative externalities to others. Or sometimes it's referred to as capitalism. Same thing for our purposes today. Passionate advocates for the free market assert strongly that government interference in the mechanism of the free market should always be avoided and minimized, if not avoided. And underpinning all of that is the notion that if each of us is free to pursue our own best interest without interference from the government, then overall we'll be better off than if the government interferes with that process. And there's no doubt that the marketplace has served us well in many respects, in terms of overall wealth and creative solutions to problems, to advances in healthcare, technology, the list goes on. And there is no doubt that we as consumers are sensitive to prices, often, but not always certainly, seeking out the best value, which puts pressure on producers to control their costs, and so on. So in some senses, like the Death Star, the marketplace can seem invincible. However, my point here is that the marketplace has a massive flaw, a vulnerability, and that is the vulnerability of negative externalities, in particular, the externality of fossil fuel pollution. That externality is affecting every individual on Earth, and we continue to make things worse as we pump more and more fossil fuel emissions into the air and the ocean. There is no market mechanism, to keep us from doing that. In fact, if we look just at the market, there is every incentive to continue because the costs of managing that pollution are dispersed amongst all of us and not borne particularly by the folks that are profiting from the process, and they're avoiding that cost that easily translates to increased profits. The ever more real challenge of climate change makes it clear that we must address fossil fuel pollution. It's also clear at this point that globally we are not doing anywhere near enough to stop polluting the air and the water. As every year passes, the concentration of carbon dioxide and methane in the air and in the ocean is higher than the year before. So the question I pose is, have we turned our precious Earth into a Death Star with a vulnerability that we seem incapable of addressing? Since the marketplace itself actually likes negative externalities, in many cases, even in most cases, likes because costs of production are passed on to people who aren't benefiting from the production. That leaves us with government, which is the only way in our present world of addressing the problem, and leads us to the political process. Without government intervention, we will never stop polluting the atmosphere. Other than a small minority of us who take on the challenge as an ethical issue, the economic and financial motivation for everyone points to more, not less pollution. That is, without government intervention. The intervention can take many forms. Most commonly would be an outright prohibition of certain activities like emitting CO2 and methane, or putting a cost or a tax on those activities to simulate something like a market discipline where the costs of the pollution are borne by those creating it. As we know, the producers of fossil fuel production are wealthy in the extreme, and one of their goals is to continue to pollute unabated. They've made that clear with their long history of denial, deception, and obfuscation around the costs of fossil fuel pollution. On the other hand, there is us, the grassroots. We are neither wealthy nor powerful. All we have is our voices. And our votes, we have our votes too. So this all adds up to the mandate that we at the grassroots elect representatives who will take action to preserve our environment, and that means that after they are elected, we need to keep pressuring them to take governmental steps, be it through regulation or taxes and fees, intended to clean up our air and water from fossil fuel pollution. Remember, the least effective voice is the one that is never raised. There have been few times in history as important as this in us raising our voices. You can contact me at john@ccltacoma.org for comments on this program or to make suggestions for future programs. The CCL part is for Citizens Climate Lobby. I'm an activist with Citizens Climate Lobby. Check it out, a bunch of good people. Join up or find another organization if you aren't already attached, and join your voice with others. This program, along with all the other locally produced Radio Tacoma programs, can be found on the KTAH website under Programming. So until we talk again, remember that all great victories were almost great defeats, and always live like the mountain is out. Take care now.